You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Pooh.
Well, Pooh, how about starting off the show for us?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
Folks, don't miss the next three nights because the man who put together, wrote, edited, and published Goodbye April 15th will be our special guest. Now, for the rest of this hour, you're going to hear the symbolism of the order or the religion of the heavens. And I neither endorse these beliefs, and you know me, I'm not going to tell you what to think. It is merely what it is. Said, it is through symbols that man consciously or unconsciously lives, moves, and has his being. Those ages, moreover, are accounted the noblest, which can best recognize symbolic worth and prize it at its highest. There is no possibility of understanding symbology, myth, allegory, legend, and ancient dramas and writings from whence came the Bible or sacred literature. And, of course, Freemasonry's dramatization without beginning with the very dawn of creation and the 48 constellations whose boundaries were established and their corresponding figures drawn around them by the divine teachers of men. Origen declared that in the time of Enoch, the constellations were already named and divided. The book of Job, the most occult and most ancient of the Bible, speaks of the sweet influence of the Pleiades, the bands of Orion, Arcturus, and his sons, Behemoth, Leviathan, and the fleeting serpent of Maseroth with its seasons, stations, and its stopping places. This is the solar zodiac, and certainly Job did not consider that a pagan thought or as belonging to heathen religion. Astronomy, you see, was an advanced, if not a perfect, science in Job's day. Modern astronomical scientists have not added anything to the science. Rather, they have brought about confusion and frustration through attempts to measure it by modern methods or present-day standards. Although God said, "Let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years," nevertheless, we, perhaps thinking ourselves wiser than the creator of these signs, have rejected them as evidence of ignorance and superstition. We have too long regarded ancient symbolism and the religion founded on the drama of heaven as paganism. Esoteric science and an exposition of the greater mysteries warn us to recognize the significance of these signs, for from them we may learn that the phenomena alluded to by Matthew foretell the changes of the ages taking place approximately every 2,145 years, when the, our, sun passes into a new constellation. As this orb is now on the upward path of the spiral, we must realize that in the new era, false teachings represented by the old serpent whose tail takes up a third of the sky will pass away. Then, in place of creed and dogma, there will be substituted a spiritual concept or practice such as was known to ancient initiates and as exemplified in the life and teachings of the Nazarene. You'll notice that in the literature of the mysteries, they always refer to Jesus, who's known as Christ, as the Nazarene, for they believe that he is a great teacher and was not, in fact, the Son of the God of the universe, but was, in fact, a son of God, as will all men be in their belief in the new age. Instinctively, the thinking ones turn to the language of signs and symbols as the constellations change before their wondering eyes, expecting the unsealing of the stars and of the mysticism of the Bible as foretold by Isaiah. And I quote, "And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." Isaiah 29, verse 11. God has been worshipped only by lip services and not in the heart. The wisdom of the wise men has almost perished, and restoration will be possible only in this new era and new dispensation. In this prophecy, the followers or the initiates of the mysteries realize the passing of the present system of education, together with the constellation of the dragon, and the revival of the mysteries, or spiritual religion, as they call it. As the dragon symbolized dogma and creeds and the disagreement and confusion so universal today, it has also, throughout the ages, warned the observing ones to ever guard the mysteries from the profane. That's you. Elimination of the false constellations, which modern astronomers have attempted to add to the original 48, shows us that these supposedly grotesque figures tell a story. This story, as dramatic prophecy, existed throughout long ages while men enacted the story individually, racially, and as a pilgrim seeking for something he knew not what. This story, ladies and gentlemen, or divine drama, the ancients wisely divided into 12 great books with 48 chapters. These books are the 12 zodiacal signs, which, with the decans of three minor constellations to assign, made up the chapters. The time for reading or enactment of the heavenly drama was determined not by the degree of any person, but by a predestined government based on absolute law. The movements of the sun through the procession of the equinoxes around the mystic and yet little understood Pleiades and Alcyon, the center of the universe. Whether we be pagans, heathens, or Christians, we cannot deny that man's earthly fate was determined by the movement of these heavenly bodies. Had any of the planets failed by a second, chaos would have been the result. And unless there is no law, God himself could not have stayed the destruction. With each recurring change from one constellation to another, there appears the warning sign of the cross in the sun and moon, and with it, a leader, guide, or teacher to reconstruct, purify, and remind man of his mission on earth. Of the fleeting years of man's incarnations and the earth's closing ages. You see, in each age, these avatars or teachers, as they are called by the initiates, have met with persecution and crucifixion in one form or another. And, of course, death, under the rule of the dragon, the symbol of false teachers, selfishness, power, possession, madness, and the evil accumulations of the ages. The age-old story of the drama of the heavens is told symbolically in legend and allegory, in the sacred books of times and nations, and in a slightly changed version in the Christian Bible. The story revolves around three main characters. The first is the divine maid, or church eternal in the heavens. Two is the serpent, betrayer of good, purveyor of false teachings which deceive all nations, because men, after all, are blinded by selfishness. The serpent threatens the maid about to bring forth a child, or truth, that would save. The Christos, who became man, appearing from age to age, and who becomes the Son of God. Then, as both Son of God and rescuing knight, or Percival, of the divine maid, he frees her from the wiles of the serpent, drinking always of the Holy Grail, which is the cup of sacrifice, ere he gives up his earthly vestment upon the cross at the hands of the evil leaders and betrayers of the people. The eternal enmity between the woman, her divine son, or the white knight, and the serpent, whose head they together will eventually crush beneath their heels, is the main characteristic of the fight of the race and of each individual for immortality. By conquest of all that is evil, both within and without themselves. In this is depicted the great master of which the heavens are constantly telling us, the promised Messiah. Here we find the origin of the symbolism which is interwoven throughout the Old Testament as the history of men and individuals, and in the New Testament as the living acts of men and of prophecies and promises made. You see, folks, it is the source of all so-called pagan myths, but fortunately was not, is not, a myth, as at least every astronomer knows, because the play is constantly before their eyes, and the curtain never rings down upon the actors. Here, in the unsealing of the mysterious movements of the stars, all religions meet, though in different tempo. Ancient Egyptian, Chaldean, Assyrian, Arabic, Hindu, Druidic, Zoroastrian, Peruvian, Aztec, Greek, Roman, and Toltec all speak the one universal language of the souls striving for everlasting life. We may read in the stars the origin of Isis and Osiris, Perseus and Andromeda, Typhon the serpent, the Virgin, Joseph and the Christos, the story of Hiram Abiff of the Masonic initiation and his three traitors, St. George and the Dragon, the rites of Mithra and the Mass of the Roman Church, as well as the first presentation of the drama of all ages, races, and civilizations, for they all stemmed from the first religion, which was the cosmology of the heavens. All this applies to the life of the individual man, as it must, if he, as an individual, is to be saved. You see, the story is a portrayal for each human being as potentially Christic, who, as a soul spark, came from God as a divine spark, that through struggles with the serpent, our earthly carnal temptations, through ages of incarnations, must be built or brought into consciousness. You see, at the heart of the mysteries is the promise of a karmic debt. If you work off this debt, you cease to go round on the wheel of life and merge with what is called nirvana or God. If you do not learn these lessons and build up more karmic debt, then you must continue to come back until the lesson is learned. Whether you believe it or not, it really makes no difference in the light that those who hold the power believe it. To tread the serpent under the heel, to recognize the divine maid and become her knight-errant, or Sir Percival, to bring forth the sleeping Christos in the soul, beset by temptations and traitors, is the part that must eventually be played by every actor in the grand drama. And this is what was meant by Shakespeare. You see, each actor enters the strife when he falls, or makes the descent from on high into matter. With each incarnation, he falls again, struggles for a short time, symbolically returns to his father's house to rest, again to hear the call, drink of the waters of Lethe, or forgetfulness, and re-enters the earth plane once more for another lesson in the warfare against the serpent and its evils. At last, if finally defeated by the serpent, his soul returns to the God who gave it, and his personality dies the eternal death. For it is not written, quote, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," end quote. But if the soul is victorious, attains immortality, consciousness of its Godhead, then, quote, "Even greater works than these shall ye do," end quote, in the divine drama of the ages and men. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to this, I'm recounting to you, the symbolism of the order or the religion of the heavens, of the adepts of the mystery religion of Babylon. I am not making judgment on it, and do not make the mistake of thinking that I believe any of this. It is, like all religions, a matter of individual faith. None of this can be proven any more than any other religion can be proven, and all are accepted on faith. That's what makes them religions. These people choose to accept this religion through their faith. Each actor enters the strife when he falls. Isn't this incredible? In the most ancient maps, the zodiac was presented as a serpent banding the earth by holding its tail in its mouth. The band was 16 degrees wide, and owing to the earth's movement around the sun, appeared partly above the equator for 6 months and below it for the other half of the year. The ancient wise men had basic scientific reasons for assigning the constellations and for drawing the figures around each. In this manner, certain principles were represented and definite laws formulated with which or by which the record could be read, the 12 great volumes in which the grand symbolic drama was written were comprised, as previously stated, of the 12 major constellations modified by 3 others, each making up the total of 48. And if you add 16 and 16, you get the highest degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, or 32. If you add the one that is not counted, or the equator, you get the meritorious degree of 33. This also equates to the age of Christ upon his crucifixion. These volumes set forth the whole story of man's evolution from spirit to angelhood by races, nations, and individuals as the sun marked time in an ever-ascending spiral until it reached the apex. Here, ladies and gentlemen, it remained 1,000 years and then returned with a corresponding day at the lower turn of the spiral. Virgo symbolizes the great mother principle in the bringing forth, hence stands at the opening of the 12 volumes. This is the divine maid with angel wings carrying the sheaf of wheat in one hand and the promised seed in which is set the star Spica that announced to the seers the advent of a savior or the coming forth, or once again, the Christos, if you will. In her other hand, she carries the branch so often referred to under the symbol as Christ. This so-named branch is one of Virgo's decans, or 10 days of the month. Some philosophers speak of the smaller constellations as the desired one. It is to be understood as representing the Christos, or Christ principle, cosmic force, the ineffable fire of all universes, or the Lamb that was slain. And not infrequently as the Savior who manifests in the flesh from age to age. You see, to the individual actor upon the stage, it is his goal, the divine spark, the Christos within himself developed into consciousness, the gaining of immortality, or the Holy Grail manifested. Centaurus's victim, a smaller serpent constellation slain under the dart of the man-horse, stands as the second decan in Virgo, while Joseph, or Butes, is the third. In Joseph, we have wisdom as the guardian or shepherd of the Holy Family and presented in starry allegory as the origin of all the forms of the Virgin and Son of all times and races. The same story appears in all the ancient religions down through the ages. Applied to the human race, it implies that a Christ-like fatherhood and holy motherhood may bring forth a perfect child. To the individual, the symbolization stands for the mind as creative power, the spirit as receptive power. The two together bring about the immortalization of the soul, a divine spark allotted to each normal human being. Understanding this, we should not be surprised to learn that ancient Egypt had its Isis, Osiris, and Horus, while the Druids, Mexicans, Persians, and other peoples had one form or another of this ancient starry group, ages before the Christian era enshrined it as their Mary and her Christ child. In Virgo is found the origin of the sun and moon legends of all time. In the constellation, we see unfolding the idea of the so-called fall, for it passes below the horizon in the fall, followed by Butes or Joseph, all passing from sight as the earth swept into the age of heroes, from the age of virgin-born races to the age of men, finally to the age of brute men at the lowest point of the spiral. The birth of Esau and Jacob marked an important turn of the upward cycle. And with Jacob came Israel, not the Jewish, as so many erroneously believe, or what's known as the Virgin Church. In Genesis, the church is personified as the 12 tribes of Israel, which, as a race, shall evolve and lead the nations upward toward a new golden age when Virgo, the divine maid, Israel, the church, bride and mother of the Christos, shall crown the great cycle by appearing again with Spica, star of the east, to herald the coming of the new age of Christos, individualized, God-conscious man, and it will be known as the sixth root race, as I have so illumined you before. Virgo and her companion decans especially represent woman, trodden underfoot for countless centuries. But as the mother of wisely begotten men rises and demands a perfect and knightly manhood, which she helps to bring forth. With Virgo, woman and her descendants will crush underfoot the old serpent, while man in the background, as Joseph, guards and aids. When Virgo finally stands upright, the race of heroes, then embodied, will merge into a race of virgin-born gods, or purely born gods. in 12-tribed Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, born of the beloved Rachel, was allotted, to Virgo and, of course, September. Libra follows Virgo, both in the great cycle and in the year cycle. It indicates balancing of the conditions which influenced the human race after Virgo's decline. Equal day and night in the autumn, and equipoise in a human being born at this time of year. To this sign is given the decan of the Southern Cross, a constellation not seen in North America except in the southern states. It consists of four stars in the form of a cross. This was the constellation said to have hung above Jerusalem at the time of the crucifixion. It is the sign of conquest over the flesh and evil forces. The second decan in Libra is the Northern Cross, a symbol of victory over the physical. It is the reward of the cross of the South, or love. The crown which the knight is attempting to win is threatened by the serpent. But the third decan of Libra, the centaur, riding upon the great horse, uses his dart to kill the serpent first met in Virgo. The tribe of Reuben was allotted to Libra and October, while tradition asserts that the people of Reuben were a red-haired people. Now, drawn as a noxious insect with its tail uplifted to sting, Scorpio is supported by a serpent and two knights of the Grail. Ophicuchus and Hercules, the strong man. The first knight was stung in the heel by the serpent, but he bravely crushes it with the other foot, while Hercules, the second knight, also wounded in the heel, holds the other foot in readiness above the serpent's head, bending his own to receive the northern crown, a club in one hand and a branch of conquest or peace in the other. No more deadly symbols are set in any one constellation than in the group of Scorpio, covering as they do the most important teachings concerning the struggle of the individual man at the north door of the temple, the physical. You see, it is symbolical that if man permits the sex principle to dominate him, the inner or spiritual light dies out. Thus man seeks the Holy Grail. And if you remember, in the annals of Arthur, there's always a maiden who precedes a procession carrying a shallow dish in which there is a head swimming in blood. A young boy follows carrying a spear or a lance from which three drops of blood drip. It symbolizes the ascent of the soul from the physical or the sexual. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the amputation of the sexual parts, symbolic of the triumph of the spiritual above the physical. Now, in the constellation, torpor and death finally result, and he slips down the ladder of incarnations. The divine maid is left undefended, and defeat faces her. So the sexual principle to the adepts of the mysteries is to be overcome. The ancient church assigned Scorpio to November. Through the principle represented, all souls must enter the earth stage to run their course. And of this month, she set the climax as October 29th, Halloween, the one night the devil is supposed to be unrestrained. Thank you. formal church has been in the toils of Scorpio, beginning with the period when it departed from the esoteric teachings of ancient Israel. Its members and the nations who called themselves by its various names violated the most holy principles of the Holy Grail. In the great cycle, the fall follows the decline of Virgo and Libra. November brings in the meteoric fall of stars, while the sun declines in the old sun myths toward his cave of December 22nd. The sun will then return with the spring, and the ancient church, whose reminder we still celebrate on All Souls' Eve, clearly points out to us from the starry allegory the victory of Ophiuchus and Hercules over the serpent principle. The priesthoods of Simeon and Levi were originally assigned to Scorpio and November, and of them Jacob said, "Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Sagittarius, ladies and gentlemen, is the steed ridden by the white knight Perseus when he rescues Andromeda, the divine maid, from the chains which bind her under the threatening dragon. His decans are Draco, the great dragon of the apocalypse, and Era, the altar, together with Lyra, the eagle with the harp of 13 strings. Andromeda is the daughter of the king and queen of Ethiopia, the celestial country, symbolizing the church in chains. Drago represents dogmas and creeds which have enchained her. Rather than sex debasement as figured by the serpent constellation of Scorpio and Virgo, Draco winds himself down from the polar star. Now, according to St. John, Draco's tail takes up a third part of the heavens. In his head is set the mysterious evil star, Algol. Or maybe Algor. No, Algor. Algol. Algor? No, Algol. Draco acts as guardian, however, of the mysteries, hiding them from those unable to understand, while they may be revealed through his dogmatic veil to those whose clear sight enables them to penetrate the veil. The correct name, folks, is Algol. I was just having a little humor. The head of Draco is drawn as appearing between the bears, major and minor, sometimes called the sheepfold. The eagle symbolizes freedom. The 13-stringed harp, the completion of the great age, the ultimate of the eagle and 13 stars, as also the joy following the reaching of Shiloh. When the dragon is defeated, Israel comes to her own and the altar is overturned, pouring fire from heaven upon the favored country, America, and her mixed people, to which country these constellations are assigned. The esoteric schools allot Levi to Sagittarius, although the Bible erroneously groups Levi with Simeon. In this ruling of December, the sun sinks into its manger, which is the origin of the Christmas legends and symbolism. Every nation and every people have had their Christ, except the Church of the Jews. St. John's Eve is celebrated by Freemasonry, as it was in the ancient Christmas festival. This was an important event to the northern nations, for they were in darkness several days at this time. At the death of Osiris, of the sun god, the priests assured the people that Isis would again bring him forth, which she did. And this, for the Egyptians, was a northern myth, are Perseus and Andromeda. The constellation of Capricornus, also assigned to America by the esoteric initiates, shows a goat sinking down as if dying, while the decans are Sagitta with the arrow, Aquila the eagle, said to be the symbol of Mexico, later to be united to America. As I told you before, the reason for NAFTA and GATT is not what it appears to be, and Delphinus, the dolphin, springing from the sea. Death, you see, has now come to the eagle through the arrow of Sagitta, death being the expression for the whole group of constellations except that of Delphinus. The ancient year closed when the sun went into his cave. Hence, this symbol indicates a bringing over from the preceding group of the Christmas constellations, and the dolphin suggests the new year. Sagittarius and Capricornus stand for the ancient Atlantis destroyed, but forecasting its rising again in America and Mexico, while, oddly enough, the tribe of Joseph is allotted to the constellation of Capricornus. Now, according to biblical lore, Joseph's inheritance was given by Jacob to his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, who stand respectively for America and the Shiloh, are the rest that shall close the great cycle after the consummation. You see, America, as Manasseh, becomes the refuge for the divine maid, the woman of revelations when she flees from the presence of the dragon with the child. Truth, truth to the wilderness. Verily, Joseph is a fruitful bough whose branches run over the wall. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. This is the white stone with the all-seeing eye, the capstone, the shepherd of divine Israel, the ancient church esoterically active in Egypt, where Joseph took the Nazarene to prepare him for his mission, which was to be among all the peoples of earth, refused by the Jews because they would not accept the Christos. The treacherous south door of the Temple of Man is the stage upon which is played his life's drama. The ancients symbolized this activity by water, because it is never at rest. Water is the symbol of the mind, which we put off at death, as we would a garment, reclothing ourselves with a new mind at each reincarnation. We find the mind a most difficult asset to master, and through it the serpent succeeds easily in leading us astray. A change of mind, a baptism by water in the Aquarian age is recommended to us by the initiates of old, a change that will restore the reign of Virgo, the divine maid. This constellation is the waterman pouring out water freely upon the earth, a baptism of the human race, if you will. Further reminders of the great drama are given in the decans of Aquarius, as in the southern fish drinking in more mind at the stream of wisdom. You see, the fish was the first sign of the early church, but was superseded by the cross, though women, too, played a leading part in the legends and parables of the Nazarene. The famous white steed, Pegasus, as the second decan, speeds with the good news of the drinking of wisdom that shall result in the return of the divine maid, the restoration of esoteric science, and the arcane mysteries by which alone man is enabled to attain to the ultimate. You see, they believe that man himself will become God. The third decan is the white swan flying with the cross on its breast. Interpreted by arcane science, this teaches us that in the Aquarian age, man will accept the truth, establish his godlike inheritance, free himself from the domination of evil, eliminate the ungodly and selfish from high places, and by his own mastery establish peace on earth. A peace which, according to Isaiah, especially applies to America, and the acceptance of Christos symbolized by the eagle who is always on high. The bird that can fly the closest to the sun. Through the cross, symbolizing sacrifice of all that is undesirable, unworthy, and temporal, man will liberate himself and his own soul at the same time that he frees the divine maid of her shackles, as shadowed forth by the white swan and the winged steed Pegasus, speeding with the news to the rest of the world, not by the sword, but by the assurance that he is fully prepared to battle with and overcome all evil. And now, maybe, if you look at the cover of my book, Behold a Pale Horse, once more, you might see that symbolism there in front of your face. For as they speak to the world in symbols, when I wrote my book, I spoke back to them in their own symbols, letting them know that we're not as stupid as they think we are, nor are they as benevolent as they would profess to be. The month of February and the tribe of Dan are allotted to Aquarius, and the ancient legend gave the coat of arms of the Danaus of Greece as a white horse treading a serpent underfoot. The Knights of St. George especially followed this symbolism as a personal application, and of the tribe of Dan, Jacob said, quote, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse's heel, so that his rider shall fall backwards. And you'll notice the rider upon the pale horse is a frail man hiding behind the mask of death upon the cover of my book. Pisces shows two fishes swimming north and south, binding head and feet of the zodiac in man, as well as representing the equal day and night of the spring equinox. They were upheld by the band as the first decan, which is doubled and held fast to Cephas, the whale, or sea monster of Aries. The second decan is Cephas, the branch, the third, Andromeda, in chains. The band signifies the conjoining principles of nature, the union of head and feet, of wisdom, and the physical. Cepheus, the branch, is the foundation of all myths concerning the Christos of the Gnostic Christians and the Christ of the formal Christians, or church, or Adonis, in reality the god of light, or the light personified through which whom God is always said to have appeared to man, symbolized by the sun. And in the front of my book, you'll see that the liberated rider of the white horse reaches for the sun. Cepheus is also a figure for God as king of the celestial country known as Ethiopia in the ancient initiation, in which were enacted the great dramas of the rescue of Andromeda from the sea monster by Perseus, the Knight of the Grail. Cepheus stands with his foot upon the pole of the heavens with the branch of peace in one hand. The divine maid must suffer the advances of Cetus until freed by the good knight Perseus, when she will be betrothed to him in the presence of her father, Cepheus, and her mother, Cassiopeiae. Cepheus, the virgin-born son, is to conquer the flesh, to win the victory over the sensual, free the Andromeda within his own soul from the snares which entangle it. Then will be given to the hero the celestial vision, kingship of the heaven within, while Perseus also frees the Andromeda within and becomes the bridegroom, receiving the highest honors that may be conferred by the chair of Cassiopeiae. It will be recognized that though this is the constant drama of the heavens, it is also the drama of the human soul, composed of good and much evil, part masculine and part feminine, endeavoring to free itself from the carnal passions which hold it imprisoned. On the basis of this double drama, that of the heavens and of the human soul, all religious forms were patterned after to begin with, then changed in form as man physically and mentally in concept developed. Naphtali was the Israelite tribe assigned to Pisces, and of him Jacob said, quote, Naphtali is a mind let loose. He gives goodly words, end quote. The month of March, where that legendary hair of March belongs to Pisces. Andromeda's mother, wife of Cepheus, is the figure drawn from the first decan of the ram. Cassiopeiae represents intuition and woman, the feminine, at its highest expression, but her chair has for many ages been overturned and empty, showing that recognition of the intuitive principle has been almost unknown to the races of the past. The ancient Britons called their supreme chair of national justice Cassiopeiae's chair and administered the law by intuitional judgment. Cetus, the sea monster closely bound by the lamb, is the second decan in the constellation group. He furnishes the original of the many allusions to the, quote, lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, end quote, ages before even the Egyptians had a formal religion and esoteric initiation. This slaying first took place in the drama of the heavens, and religions copied the heavenly plan as a religious practice, as they have done throughout the millennium. Other peoples did likewise, changing names and practices to suit circumstances and conditions. Finally, this ancient lamb became the lamb of the modern church, symbolizing the Nazarene and his mission of peace and goodwill and the beginning of the Christian dispensation. This lamb of the heavenly drama is closely bound to Cetus. It upholds the fishes of Pisces, symbolizing inability to distinguish between wisdom and sensuality, thus far contrary to the outcome of the drama of heaven, which is obedient to the law. Sensuality has held the winning hand among men. Perseus, the armed and mighty knight with the winged feet, figures as the third decan, holding aloft the cut-off head of the monster, with its writhing, snaky hair in the one hand, while he brandishes a sword in the other. He has rescued Andromeda, the divine one, from her chains, restored the soul within himself, as all men finally must by their own efforts, and not through the efforts of the church, by the sword applied to the lower, our carnal self, the lance, the amputation, or castration. You see, the head in the Holy Grail, swimming in a pool of blood, is the phallus. This accomplished, man represents himself as ready for the betrothal before the King and Queen of Heaven. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, I'm teaching you the religion or the beliefs of the order or the religion of the heavens of the mystery religions. This heavenly drama was humanized in ages past and enacted before the people in the ancient temples of Persia, Greece, and the British Isles. The esoteric significance was unveiled only to the initiates, the few, and not to the masses, who, as in the Nazarene's time, could be taught only in parable, and today it emerges from the mystery in the form of the New Age movement. Aries was given to Gad as a coat of arms by Jacob, and of him he said, quote, a troop shall overcome him, and he shall prevail at the last. April is the month of Aries. Taurus. This constellation is important, for it contains the mystic Pleiades. Dante alludes to it as the white rose. Under the sweet influence of the Pleiades, the red rose of love turns to the white rose of purity. For ages unknown, the seventh star in this band of little sisters was invisible, but it can now be plainly seen with the naked eye. Here, the first decan, Orion, a glorious prince, has crossed the second, the river of Eridanus. Tortuous and baffling in its efforts to aid the divine maid, he has at last, in belted triumph, with sword in hand, set his foot upon the serpent. Auriga, the wagoner, the third decan, is a constellation of which little has been written. It symbolizes the good shepherd carrying a mother goat and kids upon his left arm, with bands in his right hand. On the windows of many church edifices may be studied this figure of Christ as the good shepherd. Taurus and the mystic Pleiades hung over Egypt when the Great Pyramid was built, and whose mate today stands ruined and almost forgotten in the Yucatan in Mexico. When the white stone was carried forward by the tribe of Joseph, the Britons, under Jacob's decree that Joseph should be the keeper of the Grail, the sign of Taurus followed him as the ruling sign of the British Isles. And to this day, and for this reason, Britain is called John Bull. The arcanum of the mysteries sealed in the symbolism of this constellation are only revealed to those who, like Orion, cross over the tortuous river and put the serpent under their heel. The tribe given to Taurus is Asher, out of whom has come many an Anglo-Saxon colony. Jacob said, quote, out of Asher his beard shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties, end quote. The people of Britain have been grossly betrayed by those who follow the serpent instead of the grail of the lamb, and are in great danger of losing their entire heritage. The month of May is assigned to Taurus. East of Taurus, on the other side of the Milky Way, sit Castor and Pollux, where the year, rising in the full tide of spring, pauses at June 22nd for Midsummer Eve. This night was an important part of the ancient church ceremonies, and in primitive Freemasonry was celebrated as the Feast of St. John, the opposite of that of the St. John celebrated at Christmas. The point within a circle, with a vertical line on each side, marking the shortest and the longest, continues to indicate the ancient scientific system of the cosmology and the movement of the sun through the heavens. Another serpent is set in Gemini, that we may never forget his royal presence within ourselves. Orion, you see, is bravely treading him underfoot, while Canis Major, the great dog or prince coming, and Canis Minor, the second dog following Sir Sirius, complete the decans of Gemini. The tribe of Issachar is given to Gemini in June, loveliest of all months, and his father said, Issachar is a strong ass crouching down between two burdens, and he saw the rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulders to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. The decans of the crab constellation, ladies and gentlemen, are more in evidence in literature and in symbology than cancer. The two bears, known familiarly as Great and Little Dippers, are the first and second decans and occupy a position in the northern heavens which precludes their setting. You see, they swing from age to age around the pole star, which is part of the lesser group. They have been called the sheepfolds in connection with Arcturus, the shepherd who watches over you, the sheeple. The Druids, well-versed in astronomical science, called the Great Bear Charlie's Wain, or Charles Wain, because it was ever in apparition, like the Christic teachings, though veiled and smothered under by false teachings, creeds, and dogmas. The esoteric, or arcanum, was known only to a few of the greatest initiates, just as the messianic inculcations were known only to the Nazarene's followers. Sheepfold, as a word applied to the dippers, implies the shelter of the people who blindly enact the great drama through the ages, while the dragon's head thrusts itself between as guardian of the mysteries, keeping the knowledge safe from the profane. The dippers are peculiarly allotted to the Christos of the Nazarene and his church throughout all church symbology. The third decan in Cancer is Argo, the Ark. Here is the original of Noah's Ark, which bore over from the Elder Golden Age the arcane teachings, while Noah is the biblical name of Melchizedek, the true high priest of Genesis, who brought his children, the true teachings of the law, into the new or next dispensation following him. The Argonauts, in search of the Golden Fleece, were an early band of knights seeking the Holy Grail, and you will find reference to them in my book as the Jason Society. And ancient arcane knowledge of the Helio-Archite teachings, which had been handed down by those of the older age, applied to the individual, the Ark signifies the boat which brought him safely into the earth life through the perilous waters of birth. Zebulon was given this month of July in the crab constellation, and Jacob designed his abode to be by the sea, saying, Zebulon shall dwell at the heaven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships. Leo, the heart of the constellation, is the 12th and last of the heavenly configurations. Leo is symbolic of the strong, lion-hearted race of heroes who followed the age of the gods when the transition was made in religious forms and practices from that of the gods of the heavenly drama to that of the heroes among men. You see, What you're getting tonight is the original mystery religion before it was infiltrated by those who obey the teachings of the serpent, until it was perverted and twisted and used to control and manipulate and enslave. Another serpent, Hydra, is the first Deccan, which both Leo and the crab tread underfoot, and to which Job alluded as the fleeting serpent. The cup or grail, origin of the Holy Grail, which all who seek for the Christos must find in order to be saved or regenerated, is the second Deccan in Leo. It is here pictured as overturned in wrath and poured upon the head of the flying Hydra. Last in the final act of the great drama comes Corvus, the crow, as third Deccan in Leo to devour the remains of the final temptation, Hydra, now trodden underfoot. The bird of doom completes the story of the age-long struggle of man with the deceiver, the serpent, his carnal self within himself. The divine maid has been rescued by the knights of the Grail. Perseus, the Christos, resurrected or brought to life, is betrothed to her in the presence of the king of the celestial country. Cepheus stands with his foot upon the pole star, while the queen, Cassiopeiae, occupies her righted throne. Draco has passed from sight into limitless space. The Aquarian Age has brought in the Age of Leo, and with it the inner breath that a godlike race may be born. Shiloh at last returns with the magnificent entrance of Virgo, standing upright, holding in her hand the promised seed of the Redeemer. Lion hearts have been born all down through the ages, few it is true, but they have kept the line intact while standing ready to shed the last drop of blood for a principle. The circle will complete itself whether men will or not. America, the land where all nations shall mingle, is the land of the eagle. But Egypt, the land of beginnings, also signifies the eagle, while our neighbor, Mexico, is symbolized by the same eagle overpowering the serpent. After these lands will come the land of peace, which will have as its symbol the eagle with branches in her claws instead of arrows. The drama of heaven has never failed, nor deviated from the original script of the law, nor will it deviate one jot or tittle now. America will yet, in truth, in fact, become the land of the free for those who win the fight against all evil inclinations within themselves, as well as the desire to dominate others, and as a result of this conquest, be free from every evil outside of themselves. Good night, and God bless you all.